Hey guys, what's up? It is Thomas Evan here with.
Evan.
And today, it's just us two for today because other people are being scum and not deciding to join, or they have a bigger social life than me and probably Ewan. So basically, today we're here to do our F1 2013 season review and our 2014 preview. Now, before we get into all that jazz, we are going to just announce that we have two more podcasts before the seasons begin. We have a podcast coming out on the 26th or the 27th of January, and that'll be basically just before testing, so we'll be able to talk about some of the cars already announced and what we think is going to happen with testing. Then we're going to have one on the 2nd or the 3rd of March, depending in your time zone, where we will talk about testing, because that will be when it will finish, and then we'll give our predictions for Australia. So, yeah, basically that's the next few podcasts, and then obviously we'll do one for every race of the season. We may do one every week, we'll see, but we'll do one whenever there's a good, interesting topic to talk about. And the final thing I need to say is that the F1 BB podcast used to go up on my YouTube channel, iTunes. It will still be going on iTunes, but the channel... It will be uploaded to a different channel basically now. So it's going to be uploaded to a channel on this URL, which is www.youtube.com/user/F1BB podcast. So that's where you can find them on YouTube if you don't use iTunes. And this will be the last video uploaded to the Thomas 7 channel. I may still upload it to Thomas 7, but they will be going on both channels basically. Until everyone understands that there's a different channel. So, I don't know where to start, Peck. What do you want to talk about? 2013.
Okay. I guess just, if we can remember, go over just maybe a 2 or 3 minute review of each race, or what your opinions on the race or something.
Okay. So, if we start with Australia then, the winner, Kimi Raikkonen. You know, we didn't expect the Lotus to win the first race.
They did a different strategy from everyone else, and it paid off. And I guess that's when everyone, when everyone started talking about how the Lotus was better at managing tires.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, Grosjean was still learning at that stage, wasn't he? He was fast, hadn't found his feet. As such, and Kimi Raikkonen did pretty well. Sebastian Vettel finished second, or was it third? I can't even remember. Let me have a look.
I'm pretty sure it was second.
But, I mean...
Alonso came in third.
No rain, surprisingly, which is interesting for the Australian Grand Prix.
Even though it was, raining a lot in practice and qualifying, so...
Yeah, I think it was the first time they actually used the wet weather tires, wasn't it? They used the dry tires of the season in qualifying, I think. So yeah, Kimi Raikkonen won, then it was Alonso second, Seb third, Massa fourth. That was surprising. I never remember Massa getting up there. And Hamilton fifth. So it was quite a good season, really. Race even. Hülkenberg.
He didn't start the race.
Yeah, because he got disqualified. It wasn't his car underweight, or they were using...
No, I think there was just a problem with the car to the point where...
I was going to say, I remember, but, I mean, their car wasn't that good at the beginning of the season, you know. It was ever since they switched tyres, they really sort of got advantage, I guess. And I mean, looking here at the average speed Kimi Raikkonen apparently was travelling was 204 miles an hour through them speed traps. So he was the fastest car... Traveling the speeds. Baldonado's 196, so there's a 8 mile an hour gap. So that was quite a good race. I think it started to rain as soon as the Grand Prix ended, I think. So there you go.
It was cloudy most of the race.
Oh, yeah, it looked like it should have rained, really. So then we went straight to Malaysia and we had the massive Vettel Weber. Sort of multi-21 issue, which sort of spiced up the season.
Yeah, nobody talks about... I mean, obviously it wasn't big, but Mercedes had the same thing pretty much, where
Yeah.
I think Rosberg was going faster than Hamilton, or yeah, Rosberg was going faster than Hamilton, and Ross Braun told Rosberg not to pass him.
Yeah, I know. It's quite like that's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, you know, let him through. Why does Hamilton get the upper hand on the second race of the season? It's just ridiculous. Surprisingly, Sergio Perez set the fastest lap time. So was he on like, did he have an incident or something where he had to pit quite low?
Yeah, I think he did have an incident in that race.
But obviously, that was the first race which Sebastian Vettel won. And it really should have been the last race Mark Webber won, really. But there you go.
Well, Weber also run. I mean, well, Weber also almost won it.
Yeah.
Silverstone, but yeah, so.
Then we had the. So, yeah, the top five of that was Sebastian Vettel, Mark Webber, Lewis Hamilton, Nico Rosberg, and Felipe Massa. So, that was where we had Fernando Alonso having that retirement when he should have really pitted at the end of lap one. But,
Yeah.
I mean, they
When
learned
he's
from their mistakes. And,
killing the rock.
you know, at the time, people thought it was a championship thing, wasn't it? But it turns out they weren't anywhere near them, were they? The championship. So, the next race was China, if I'm thinking correctly.
Yeah.
And the pole position was Hamilton. I think that was his second pole of the season, maybe.
Yeah.
They pretty much locked out, didn't they? The top rows on the grid. For I think it was until about Grand Prix 7 or 8, something like that. I mean, how do you think Mercedes did over the season? You know, were they?
I mean, they had qualifying pace, but they didn't have the race pace, and they were pretty bad on the tires, so
Yeah, I mean, that's what I think. I mean, yeah, they had the fastest car, would you not argue? Probably for most of the season.
Maybe Vettel's car was faster, but yeah, they were up there. But they were probably just as fast as anyone else. But yeah, eighth.
I mean, I think. I do definitely think Mercedes had the fastest car for the majority of the season. I do, though, believe that about ever since maybe Grand Prix 14, I'd say somewhere like that, Red Bull were dominant. I mean, whenever that, you know, they introduced that incredibly thin wing, Red Bull rear wing. That was amazing. From then on, that's when they won, really. So the winner was Alonso. So this is where we thought for this is for China, by the way. This is where we thought Alonso was basically. It was going to be again a Vettel Alonso sort of championship. Kimi Raikkonen in second, third was Hamilton, and then therefore that meant the drivers' championship. You know, Kimi Raikkonen was second in the drivers' championship. I don't think Vettel ever lost the drivers' championship. Like he led it from. Basically, race two onwards, I believe,
Yeah.
because very dominant. I mean, he is. Would you say he is now the best driver ever in F1?
I still think that belongs to Schumacher. If Vettel can get 7 championships and maybe pass Schumacher and get 8 championships, then that'd probably spark a conversation. But as of right now, I think Vettel is probably I think Vettel's in the top five. That's all. I think Schumacher and Senna are definitely better.
Yeah, I mean, we
Alonso.
haven't talked about Schumacher's incident, you know, his off the track incident, I guess. I mean, after 20 odd years in Formula One, his biggest accident seems to be on the mountains of, can't remember, some French.
I think it was that. I think it was in the Alps.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And I mean, we all wish well for him. We don't want to see him disappear just yet. Although, you know, it's strange that people really hated him when he was driving, but you know, we all unite for him when he's in pain. But that's a good thing about F1, I guess, the world. So, Yeah, what do you think about Pirelli's tires then? I mean, I think, you know, they I don't like the way Pirelli are doing things. 2012 was perfect for me.
Yeah, I didn't like the tire change they made in the middle of the season.
I mean, it's so, I mean, it's not, I mean, I understand for safety reasons, that's the main thing, but it really did ruin Force India's chances of the who was it? It was Force India who basically lost out, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I think Sauber gained a little bit from it, and Red Bull gained from it as well, so.
Yeah, so it was I think yeah, Red Bull definitely did, didn't they? I mean, that might have been the changing point where they actually just won all the races, who knows? What do you think about the rookies? Who was the one who like sort of really stood out? I mean, for me, I'd say I'm trying to think of all the rookies. We had Gutierrez, Chilton, Bianchi, probably Bianchi for me.
I'm gonna say Bottas.
Yes, close second for that. Yes.
Yeah, I think I'd say Bottas, and then probably a tie for second between Bianchi and Gutierrez, in my opinion.
Gutierrez did well, yeah. He was very good. But I don't I like we've just had news of that Chilton has signed for Mauricio again. Do you think that's a good move? I mean, I don't.
It probably is. They didn't really have many options, and Chilton did bring sponsorship money, so.
I mean, that is the thing. I don't. Do you like the world like F1 is in at the moment, where money's sort of the power? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm still angry over the fact that Maldonado got that Lotus seat over Hülkenberg,
I mean,
but.
this is where I get sort of argumentative with you then, I guess, because I really think Maldonado is a great driver. I don't care that people say certain things. I mean, everyone is, you know.
Yeah, I see your point. I just think Hülkenberg's better, to be honest.
That's the only reason I understand like that. But Maldonado is definitely a Grosjean in my opinion. You know, he's
Yeah,
gonna. Fast just needs to get tamed.
I think if Lotus has a good car, he could get some podiums.
He's won a race, you
Maldonado
know.
could.
He won a race in a Williams. That's quite impressive. Sure, the car was fast, but it wasn't the fastest car, probably.
It wasn't. The day didn't end too well for Williams, though. Like
No.
right after the race, there was a big fire in the garage and in the garage.
I mean, luckily enough, no one got hurt, which was
Yeah,
good, but.
their equipment got hurt, though. I
No.
think it was like thousands, tens of thousands of dollars of equipment that got destroyed.
Mean, they're not in a good place financially, are they? Really, Williams? You know, they're. You know, they. I remember this season they got a fine of £40,000, pounds for, basically, not screwing a nut on correctly, wasn't it? Really, and they
Yeah.
can't take them fines like that a lot. And they haven't got the backing they used to have because they're not that fast anymore. I mean, the last time they won was, excluding Maldonado, was
2004.
04, yeah, with Montoya, who is also from the South Americas, basically. So, I am understanding that Venezuela is in South America. No, I don't know. I thought
Yeah,
so.
it is.
So, I guess basically. One of the big topics to talk about. But then again, this is leading into 2014. We'll talk about driver changes later, I guess. So, yeah, it was quite a good season until basically the 10th round, was it?
No, because, I mean, Hamilton won in the 10th round, which was Hungary,
Was
so.
it? Oh.
Yeah, in
So that was
Belgium.
where the end season sort of ended, pretty much.
Yeah.
Because Vettel won everything. I mean, but then again, you know, I've started to like him a lot more than ever. I mean, I understand that people don't like him because of the Weber incident, but you know, you've got to take these sort of opportunities to win a championship. And I'm very sure if Red Bull didn't win the championship because of that move, then I think they'd be kicking themselves right now. I know Vettel would be.
Yeah.
But either way. It's been quite a good season. I don't know what else we really want to talk about, which 2013, you know, that's the year of the tires we really think of. I don't think of much else.
Yeah, it was pretty much fiddle, and then tires are the two main stories.
Yeah.
And then, I guess, Webber's retirement, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's had a good season. What do you think?
Who, Webber?
Yeah.
He had a pretty good season. I think he deserved to win two races. He obviously deserved to win Malaysia, and then he almost caught up to Rosberg at the end in Silverstone.
Yeah.
So, those are two races he possibly could have won. Then again, I think Vettel would have probably won Silverstone if it wasn't for the tire thing. But
Brazil, you know, he set the fastest lap of the race on his retiring race, and, you know, he literally, some of the overtakes he did, I've never seen, you know, some drivers do that. He shouldn't retire.
Just, I guess he just let it all out on his last race. I don't know.
He would have known, like, I don't know if you watched back in 2008, but that was when David Coulthard's last race was, and he was his teammate, and he got spun out on the first lap. So I guess he was a bit cautious. But either way, it was quite good season.
I've been watching F1 since 2009 or 10.
Oh, okay. So anything prior to basically Australia 2009, you probably have a little less knowledge about, I guess. So, there's got to be something else. I remember I was going to talk about something. Oh, yeah. So, like, if we talk about each individual team and which driver had a better season. So, if we start off with Red Bull, pretty easy answer, I guess.
Yeah.
It's Sebastian Vettel, you know. Dominance, okay. Malaysia was a bit weird, but he doesn't care. He won the championship. Mark Webber still had a good season, in my opinion. Just, I don't know.
Yeah, what surprised me was he ended up third in the standing, so.
I mean, then again, Kimi Raikkonen did miss the last two races, basically. Three.
Yeah, but, I mean, Hamilton was ahead.
That's true.
I mean, when I heard Kimi Raikkonen wasn't racing the last two, I thought Hamilton would be a lock for third.
But, and ever since, really, basically the Belgium Grand Prix, Hamilton's been quite weak, you know. No problems. Poor, I guess. I don't know. But so if we then talk about the Mercedes pair, you know, who do you think had a better season? For me, it's like Rosberg, I think.
I'd say if I had to give most improved driver of the year award, I'd say go to Rosberg.
I mean, I don't know whether maybe he's always just had this pace, it's just he's never had a good teammate. I mean, you know, maybe Schumacher wasn't as bad as we thought. You know what I mean? Like, now he's got a real good teammate next to him, not that much different.
I think the car's better as well.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that does help, and especially as the car's a bit more moulded round him than Hamilton, likely. But, there you go. The Lotus pair, you'd probably go with Kimi again.
Grosjean
had a better ending.
Kimi had the better first half and Grosjean had the better second half, so
I mean only because Kimi won a race and he's got number 7 next year, so I'm gonna go with Kimi, but it was close. That was definitely the closest pair of drivers, I think, of the season.
Yeah, my favorite driver has been Kimi since 2012, so
yeah,
I think my favorite driver was Vettel until he started winning so much.
So then we have the have we done Ferrari yet? I don't think so. No, I mean,
yeah,
it's Fernando probably.
Yeah, I think Fernando. This was another year that he, he definitely outdrove the car in 2012.
He did it again.
Yeah, he probably did do it again. Seems to be a trend.
Yeah, and he just needs Adrian Newey or Ross Brawn.
I think if Vettel and Alonso were at Red Bull, then Alonso would probably win the championship more than Vettel. I don't know.
But then we have McLaren, or just McLaren, as I think they are now. Jenson Button, I guess you'd say.
Obviously they both had not they both didn't live up to expectations from McLaren, but
Fourth place at Brazil, not bad for JB.
Yeah.
So
I mean, he almost got a podium in Belgium, and I think finished fourth or fifth in Belgium, finished fourth in Brazil. So
quite not bad season. And then we obviously got Hulkenberg and Gutierrez. Hulkenberg, I mean, he needs to be in that Ferrari seat now, really. But then again, you know, I think Alonso is pretty much a bit more of a long-term plan with the Ferraris. I don't think Kimi Raikkonen's guaranteed a next seat next year, in my opinion.
Kimi's signed a 2-year deal, so...
But then again, he's the sort of person to break it, isn't he? You know, especially after the Lotus stuff. But then again, he wasn't getting paid, was he? So, you know, it's slightly different. But Adrian Sutil, DiResta, shame to see DiResta sort of probably being his last F1 race for the foreseeable future, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
It's a shame, but, you know, because he really did outrace Adrian Sutil, in my opinion. But
he had bad luck.
Yeah, I mean, what was it? He had 4 DNFs in a row, something ridiculous like that.
Yeah.
That was bad, and I think that's what sealed it for him. But he still finished way ahead of Adrian Sutil in the championships, in my opinion. Was he 19 points ahead, so that's quite a lot. Then we have the Toro Rosso pair. That was quite a close battle, actually. I do prefer Verne, but...
I'd give the better... season to Ricardo.
Yeah. But then again, you know, halfway through the season, he was announced to be the Red Bull driver. You really probably get a kick out of that, I'm guessing. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's pretty close. Then we have the Williams, another dreadful season. But I wouldn't even know. I'd say probably Bottas you'd have to give it to, getting that 8th place.
Enough as well.
Then we have the last two teams on the grid, which is if we do Marussia first, who actually did clinch 10th place in the championship, and Jules Bianchi.
Yeah.
And then if we say the Caterhams, probably Van der Gaard. Yeah, definitely, I'd say that. I think he did pretty well.
I think we pretty much knew at the end of the season that Van der Gaard was going to keep that seat. And, I mean, at a point, there were rumors that he might be going to Sauber, but that didn't happen. But I still think, he does need another year at Caterham. And I think most of us thought Peak wasn't going to stay at Caterham and probably leave F1. Obviously, neither of those seats have officially been confirmed yet, so...
Not at all. So I guess we might as well wrap it up by saying best driver for you? As a whole, it doesn't matter if they won all the races, it doesn't matter if they finished last. Who do you think?
I want to say Alonso.
Okay.
But obviously Vettel had the best car. I mean, by far he had the best car-driver combination. But I'd probably give best driver to Alonso. Not that Vettel wasn't. I mean, it's close between the two.
Yeah.
But I would just give it to Alonso, just because I don't really know.
I mean, I'd have to. I wanna say Vettel, because he's driven amazingly, and I probably would actually. And then I'd say probably Rosberg close second for me, because I think. Like I say, he did pretty well, I thought. So, I mean, I've never seen someone drive like Vettel has done before. And it's the same with Alonso. Like, Alonso can do some stuff no other driver on the grid can do, in my opinion. And it's same as Vettel.
Yeah, I saw a clip from, like, 2006 when he was with Renault. And, like, on his warm-up lap, he was warming up the tires. And he was... Alonso was spinning the wheel so fast, it actually lifted up the side of the car a little bit.
I remember that, yeah. I can't remember the Grand Prix, but I remember
I think it was, I'm just going to guess from what I remember from the senior, I think it was Silverstone, but I don't know.
So, what about best constructors or team?
And that's not
Red
really
Bull.
a good question. That's pretty much a lock.
So, I guess we might as well just run down the Drivers' Championship and then the Constructors' Championship, and we can basically then leave 2013 behind us. So, Sebastian Vettel won the 2013 Championship, his fourth Constructors' Championship with 397 points. That would have won him the Constructors single-handedly.
Yeah.
No need of Mark Webber competing. Second place, Fernando Alonso with 242. Mark Webber third place with 199. Lewis Hamilton fourth with 189. Then we got Kimi Raikkonen fifth with 183. Nico Rosberg sixth with 171. Then we have Grosjean with 132. And then we have Massa with 112. Button with 73. Nico Hülkenberg with 51, Sergio Perez with 49, Paul de Resta with 48, Adrian Sutil with 20, Ricciardo with 13, Verne with 6, Gutierrez with 6, Verne is actually with 13, Gutierrez is with 6, then I said Bottas is 4 points. Maldonado the 1, and then the rest of the drivers have 0, so it goes from 19th place, Bianchi, then Pick, then Kovalainen, then Van der Garde, then Chilton. Then, finally, the constructors. We have Red Bull in first with 596 points. I think that's the record amount of points.
Yeah, because
They changed the point system recently. So.
I mean, a few years ago, they changed the winner from getting 10 points to 25 points. So that pretty much is
sealed it.
That's why so many points records are being set. I mean, like, that's probably why Alonso
has the record.
Because, I mean, he's been contending for podiums in both eras where you had 10 points for the winner and 25 points for the winner. So,
I mean, I think if we just say, I still think even if it was a 10 point system, I still think they would have had more points, I think. Most points set. So anyway, we had Red Bull in first, then Mercedes in second with 360, Ferrari with 354, Lotus with 315, McLaren Mercedes with 122, Force India with 77, Sauber Ferrari with 57, Toro Rosso Ferrari with 33, then we have Williams with 5, and then Marussia, and then Caterham with 0 points each. So what's the last thing you got to say about 2013, if you're asked just to say one thing about it?
It was, I'd say it was a good season.
Mediocre, is that what we're talking about here? Sort of.
Well, I mean, the first half was definitely good. I mean, the second half obviously was dominated by Vettel, but there were some battles at times between other drivers, and I mean, there were a few races that Vettel could have lost.
Yeah, so for me, I would say, sorry, have you finished or not?
No, yeah, I'm pretty much done.
Okay, sorry, I was just gonna basically say, probably mediocre season, okay, amazing driving by Vettel. And I guess we should just now turn our heads to the 2014 season, I guess. And so,
yeah.
Driver market. We have an interesting battle with the Ferrari boys, if we want to call them that. With, obviously, Kimi Raikkonen and Alonso on the same team. How do you think that's going to play out?
What I think is going to happen is I think that Alonso is obviously going to want to show
his dominance in the team as the mature driver, I guess.
I think that Alonso is gonna probably outrace Kimi the first few races.
Yeah.
And then maybe towards the end of the season, if Red Bull isn't dominating again, then I could see Kimi winning one or two races. And then maybe...
So you think Alonso's gonna basically be the dominant driver?
Yeah, probably for this first season, yeah.
So then we got Mercedes sticking pretty much status quo. It's going to be sort of the same close battles, hopefully. I think Lewis might up his game a bit.
Yeah, and hopefully Rosberg can have a consistent season as well. Because he kind of fell off the cliff in the last half of the season, really.
You know, I was under the impression that, like you said, you know, if he didn't fall off the cliff, basically, he would have beaten Hamilton in the constructors, drivers, I think.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's only 6 points behind. But anyway, I think he had a bad race in, like, India, where he would have got third, but he ended up, like, eighth or something ridiculous. But so then we got, obviously, you know, how do you think Ricciardo is going to fare? You know, an Aussie for another Aussie for the Red Bull. How do you think?
Yeah, like, I saw a joke as soon as they signed Ricciardo. I know Vettel has another Aussie to play with. But, yeah, I think I could see Ricciardo getting... If Red Bull has a car they had like they had last year, possibly Ricciardo getting a podium. I do see him getting a few top fives, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I agree. I mean, I think he's going to be top five material. I don't know about podiums, but we'll have to wait and see. I mean, I hope so. I hope he brings a fight to Seb. But yeah, I don't think he's that quality.
I think he might finish in the top, in the maybe sixth or seventh in the points.
Yeah, I mean, being a consistent driver, like, that's what happens when you're at the back of the grid. It's all about finishing the race, isn't it? You know, to sort of scavenge points, I guess. You know, he should definitely be there, I hope. The Lotus have a good pairing, I think. You know, Maldonado, just once he learns what he needs to do, should be interesting. I hope, anyway.
Yeah.
They haven't announced what engine they're using, apparently, but it'd be very unlikely that they don't use the Renault engine.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Lotus is going to use the Renault. It'll be interesting to see, like, Marussia's moving to Ferrari, Toro Rosso is moving to Renault, I think Williams is moving to Mercedes.
Yeah, Caterham is going to Renault as well, so it's like, you know, Ferrari only have...
Well, Caterham is already at Renault, yeah.
Were they? Oh, yeah. That's true. So, McLaren Mercedes, they need to up their game. That's no joke at all.
I think the sponsor's going to be...
A lot of fun left. I don't think it's got anything to do with their poor performance last year. I think they were on their way out anyway, weren't they, I think?
Yeah. So,
Kevin Magnussen, I think he's going to be a really good driver. I hope he is.
Yeah, I think there might be, like, if McLaren has a good car, then you might see a few Magnussen-Ricciardo battles just to...
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking Magnussen is... I really do think he's a top driver.
For the future.
Yeah. I mean, even now, I think he's got it. But, yeah, future, definitely. I mean, we'll have to see. F1's a different ball game, isn't it? But...
Yeah.
From what I've seen in his previous racing career, he's amazing. So then, obviously, moving on, let's talk about Force India. You know, they've got good driver pairing. It's just now it's about the car.
Yeah.
I think Sergio Perez has got something to prove. So has Hülkenberg. You know, it's definitely the proving team, isn't it?
I think if Hülkenberg gets a few top, maybe top five, six, or seven.
Call me, people. Sorry if anyone
heard that. Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of people, a lot of drivers contending for, like, fifth, sixth, seventh,
especially
eighth.
With the dominant teams. I mean, you know, a few driver changes, right? So, I mean, I do think Force India as well as a team have got to prove, are they a midfield runner or are they, you know, potentially the next Jordan where they are race winners. I hope they do. Then we got Marussia and Caterham. They need to pull up now to the back of the middle runners.
Phil's inside his goal was to score points.
Whose goal?
Chilton. I don't know if that's gonna happen.
That's not gonna happen. I don't know.
They
need to pull up. They need to be with the Williams and Saubers and the Force Indias if they've got, you know, any sort of expectation of them, because it's be their fifth year, right?
Yeah, I do think Mauricio has a better chance than Caterham.
I don't know.
I think, and weren't there rumors that Caterham might be signing Kobayashi?
I really hope. I don't know if you ever saw Kobayashi. I think he's a really good driver.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe he's not the fastest driver in the world, but he has got some really good assets, and I think, like, you know, he's going to bring some good money from Asia. And we need him back in F1, because there's a few drivers on the grid, especially someone like Sutil, for me, who he's had enough time, he needs to go, really. You know, that's what I'm talking about. So, I hope Kobayashi gets the seat, I really do. Who's going to pair him, you think? Vandegaard?
Probably, yeah.
Probably. I mean, it'll they're the only team to not announce their full driver lineup. It's surprising.
Yeah, it'll probably be. They haven't confirmed. They haven't even confirmed Vandegaard, so I think it's going to be Vandegaard, Kobayashi, or Vandegaard, Ericsson. I think that guy, Andrew Ericsson. I really don't know anything about him.
No, not at all. So, yeah, I mean, the driver's grid, it's got a few new faces to it, which is nice. But the top runners seem to pretty much be status quo such. Well, there's no new drivers in the top teams apart from Magnussen, but, you know, McLaren might not be a top team this year. I don't know. I hope they are. I really do, because I think McLaren need to win a championship soon. Otherwise, they'll be classed as a midfield runner, which is not good. You know, they always seem to win a championship, like, every 10 years or something.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So, yeah, I mean, the grid's looking good. A lot of people are saying the engines are going to be a massive thing. I mean, I think for the first maybe 5-7 races, but by then I think it'll pretty much settle down and it'll be back to the cars. Yeah, I think half the season's going to be about engines. I don't want to see it. Like, I don't want to see, say, if Mercedes make the best engine, I don't want to see everyone else fail, because then that would be boring. But I don't think it's as bad as they're making out, but it is going to be a lot about engines. And then obviously, the cars are going to look completely different. And they're going back to the flat noses, I think. Very much Braun GP style of a nose, I think. From what I don't know. We'll see. It should be an interesting season. So, like we said, the first test race is on the 28th, isn't it? Yes, 28th. So that's a Monday. Our podcast will be up before them, giving ourselves... That'll probably be like a 10-minute show. So don't worry, guys, because we'll be literally... we'll be talking about the look of the cars and then quick prediction. This one's been almost 40 minutes, so quite surprising because there's two of us. I'm trying to think, what big news have we had recently?
I guess the Schumacher.
I guess we can leave that at the end of the season. Oh, sorry, at the end of the episode. If I quickly search on the internet to see what sort of... the numbers, the driver's numbers. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
So we got, obviously, Kimi Raikkonen's got a 7. Hamilton's 44. Do you understand the relationship between that?
44. I think he used it in his young karting days or something. I don't really...
Sebastian Vettel, like, obviously, he's got 1, but if he doesn't have 1, he would then have 5.
I know Vettel used that number in his young age, and he won his first championship using number 5, so in 2010.
So going over the list, we have Sebastian Vettel with a 1 this year, then we'll have Ricciardo with 3, Hamilton 44, Nico Rosberg 6, Fernando Alonso 14, Kimi Raikkonen 7, Grosjean 8, Pastor Maldonado 9, 13.
No, Raikkonen and Grosjean will have the same numbers they did last year.
Yeah, I know, that's weird, isn't it? But Pastor Maldonado is the first driver for a long time to have a 13 on his car, because it's apparently an unlucky number. So there you go. Because he wanted 8, but turns out he couldn't have 8, because Romain Grosjean has it. Then we got Button with 22, then Kevin Magnussen with 20, Nico Hülkenberg with 27, Sergio Perez with 11, Adrian Sutil doing the most annoying thing in the world and going for 99, Esteban Gutierrez doing 21, 25 for Verne, 26 for Daniel Kvyat, is it? I don't know how to say it. Then we got Massa 19, Valtteri Bottas 77, Jules Bianchi 17, Chilton we don't know, and obviously Caterham have not declared their drivers. So there you go, guys. There's the numbers I'll be racing for the rest of their season.
What do you think about the new tracks and the tracks that got taken off the calendar?
Well, I'm really disappointed about Korea being taken off. There's a main the reason is, you know, you don't send on that sort of Jeep onto the track. They had no idea how to set host a race.
They were planning to like completely revolutionize that area and have like they were planning for the third sector to be like a city section and have
Loads of skyscrapers.
Make it look kind of like Singapore, obviously not with all the lights, but not having a night race, but like they were planning to like completely
just put a bit of infrastructure
urbanize that area that where the track is, but I haven't seen any structures on that yet.
That's one of the reasons, and I mean they don't get a great turnout, do they, at Korea?
No.
It's a shame. I really love the track. I mean, it's one of not the best tracks in the world. I think it's like Brands Hatch. It's a great track to drive, just not to race, I guess. I don't know.
I like driving that track in the F1 2013 game, and I think it's a good multiplayer track.
I do as well. I mean, it's definitely top three tracks for me for the season. So, you know, then we got a track returning, which was back in the 90s, which is the Austrian or Red Bull Ring, whatever you want to call
it. They didn't stop until 2000. Actually, the last race was 2004.
Was it? Oh, I thought it was 01. Oh, well.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was 04. And it was called the A1 Ring.
Yeah.
Back then, and I think Red Bull bought it a few years ago, so now it's the Red Bull Ring.
So
that'll probably be a big race for Red Bull, because
I mean, if they win it, it's a bit ironic, isn't it?
Yeah, it'll. I mean, it's their home race, because Helmut Marko is Austrian, so.
Yeah, I mean, they needed their own race. You know, every other team's pretty much got their home Grand Prix, apart from, obviously, Force India now, who've had that. Well, no, is that still in the Grand Prix? That is still in the calendar, isn't it?
No, not this year.
So they replaced that with Russia, didn't they?
Yeah.
So that'll be an interesting one. Is that a street circuit?
Yeah, it is. It's, like, in the same area as the Olympics are going to be in about a month. It's like the same complex as it's like the Olympic complex, pretty much.
I did hear that they were actually like thinking about adding F1 into the Olympics, but none of that's been talked about since London 2012. But anyway, yeah. So we're looking forward to the season. Still 19 races, so you know, enough action to enjoy, but not from what we thought we were going to have 22, wasn't it? Something like that. A lot.
It's kind of kick as New Jersey got taken out again.
I was looking forward to that one. I mean, America, you know, that's such a big market for F1, and they've still only got Austin. They need at least two Grand Prix there, maybe three.
I kind of don't really want, honestly, even though I am American. I don't know. I just don't really think that, because I've been there. Like, I've actually been there. Because I have some family that lives in that area, like the New York area, but I don't really think those streets, because it's like, it's different from Monaco, because obviously they've been racing in Monaco for a long time, and it's really the only track you compare it to, because
Valencia's gone.
Yeah, no, because Singapore, I mean, Singapore is different because Singapore is much more so, like, they're taller buildings in Singapore.
It's a different environment.
And, yeah, they're taller buildings in Singapore, and Singapore is a lot newer. Yeah. It's a lot newer and revolutionized city compared to New Jersey and Monaco, so.
It'd be interesting to see the turnout, I think, because Americans, you know, not being, I guess I'm not being sort of stereotypical here, but you know, they like turning left a lot.
Yeah, although, I think there'll be a big turnout just because people will hear about it and be like, oh, this is a worldwide sport, and like a lot of there's that area is very, it's very
populated.
Yeah, populated is very high. So, honestly, where are they gonna put the grandstands? Grandstands? Because like, I'm pretty sure there's buildings like Monaco now. I don't know.
Yeah, that's gonna be interesting. So, I mean, I think we should basically start wrapping up now. We've hit the 45-minute mark. So, I don't know. Have you got anything else to say you wanted to talk about? I don't know.
No, not really. I hope the tires are good.
I mean, Michelin were going to come back in, and I think we will see them.
I kind of wanted Michelin to come back just to make it interesting.
I think we will see them within the next 2 years in F1. Definitely, because I don't think Pirelli, if they have another bad year, they won't be there next year. I'm pretty much guarantee that. It would be nice to see tyre battles again, they were so good. But then it comes to the idea where, can, say, for example, Pirelli and Michelin build a tyre which is equally wearing but still competitive? Like, when you have tyre battles, you want the most durable tyre, don't you, and the fastest. And then you'd instantly kick out these bad tyres out the window.
You should just bring Goodyear back. Oh, Goodyear.
Well, anyway, guys, I mean, thank you for listening. Yeah, it depends. You should
plug your league.
Yes, we have, if you play F1 2013 or are interested in being part of a league, we have a new league coming out called F1 2014 Live Season. And basically, we follow the year, so pretty much when there's a race, the Saturday before, so basically the day before, we will do a Grand Prix, 50% race, 15-minute qualifying, and we'll pretty much follow the season. We're currently in winter testing stages where we're testing drivers and so on and so forth.
And driver ratings and stuff.
Also, we are full... we have enough drivers to do the league with full seats, but there's also a new aspect which I've introduced called the team principals. This is the whole point, the reason I started this league, is that basically you can be a team principal, so you don't need the game, but you can talk to your team about results, you know, strategies for the race, and you've also got to buy your drivers. So by the end of winter testing, all the drivers will have a rating between 10 and 0, and obviously the best drivers will have, like, you know, 8s, maybe 9s, I'm not sure, but we will see. And then weaker drivers will have between, like, I guess 4 and 1. So obviously each team principal has 10 points to buy that, so you could buy a driver who's rated 9, but then you'll only have 1 point to buy a driver. So you'd have it's an easy way to balance out teams, basically.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want a team with, like, you and Riot Box on it.
Okay. They're incredibly fast people if you don't know who they are. So, yeah.
They'd pretty much be a lock for the constructors if that was a team.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, you basically manage them. And the good thing about being a team principal is that you look at things more realistically. You know, a lot of drivers in racing games, they just go out for the win. But you may only need fifth place. So, to win the championship, you need fifth. But, you know, your team principal will be able to tell you, like, right, you need to do fifth place. Don't worry about the win. And you can talk to each other while doing the races in the Skype call. Obviously, F1 2013 does not have a spectator mode, but if 14 does, then 2015 season will definitely, hopefully, help my league incredibly. So, yeah, if you want to join that, that's fine. My YouTube channel is TomF7. I have another one called Mr. Techno Tom. That's enough I need to plug. What about you, Evan?
Well, I guess my channel is youtube.com/peckf1. That's really all I really need to plug. So
you can find great content on both, probably weaker on my channel because, you know, I'm an idiot anyway. So we will thank you all for watching this potentially 50 minute long podcast. Imagine if we had like 4 people in here. Jesus, we would be dead by now. So thank you guys for watching. This has been Tom F7 and Ewan. my final word is I hope you've all enjoyed 2013. I hope Schumacher gets well, and I hope we're all ready for 2014 to begin on March the 16th.
You said Tom F7, Ewan.
Evan is his name. Ewan is some sort of Scottish guy, I don't know.
Some sort of, I don't know.
Anyway, we'll see you later. Goodbye.